We are moving on to the next presentation by Andre Dobos and Erica Micheli. The talk is about terrain characterization in support of the SOTA database development.
Thank you, Sabine, and thank you for everybody coming. What I'm going to talk about now, it's not really a kind of traditional scientific paper. It's more like a story of SOTA. That is what I would like to tell you now in a summarized, compressed way, because it's a quite long story. So if I miss something, please approach, what is your interest, please approach me in the break after or on the discussion session, because there is a lot what is gonna left out from the presentation itself. So the content of the presentation, it is scientific, well, sounding now still. Introduction to the SOTA, because I guess many of you have not heard too much about the SOTA concept and the SOTA itself. And then our project, which is basically targeting to solve many of the problems what has been arising as SOTA was developing and evolving. And the methodology, the traditional and the digital approach for that. And the validation and characterization of the products, and of course some conclusions, but there will be many interim conclusions as well, just to tell you why we were going this way or that way and which were the major questions what we had to solve. So the SOTA itself, it's an abbreviation coming from Soil and Terrain Digital Database, and I had to tell you that we had a big jump now. We are on a global level. Small scale map, not field scale, not county scale, it's really global, so the major issue is to have a global data set which we don't have. We have got only one, the FAO map of the world, but so far we don't have anything else. We have other initiatives like the Global Soil Map project and the SOTA map as well, so those two are working parallel to create something what really to replace the existing FAO map what we have. But this is not a real database itself, it's a methodology to harmonize and correlate databases, national data sets, or any kind of data sets which can be imported into a global data set. So it's more like a framework, as it is stating here. And that is the status now, not now in 2004, that is the image that I just got so far, which shows a very bad picture. The majority of the globe is still missing. And what is even worse, that the more wealthy part of the globe, like Europe and the US and Canada, had done nothing to contribute to global initiatives. But it's changing now. Europe is investing a lot to finance this project. And as far as I know, US is and Canada is interested to do something like that as well. So world is changing. But still, that's the situation. So we really have to speed up a little bit and have to help the project somehow out of this standing stage. And that's why the project has been initiated, this new one. So some words about the SOTA mapping approach. The SOTA has four levels of information. The one is the terrain unit, the uppermost. It is really the delineated portion that, which really has geometric information connected to that. But all the rest goes into the attribute data set only. But it's a kind of nested hierarchical data set having the SOTA unit and the terrain components and the soil components and the soil profiles. It's so complex, it's just a very quick picture what I would like to give to you now. But just to know what we are working about, it's basically we are focusing on the SOTA unit delineation because that's the easiest part, and of course that's the first thing we have to do because we have to define the spatial units what we will allocate all kind of terrain and soil information later in the process. And the mapping units or the SOTA units are defined by its lithology and its physiography, and the physiography is very simply approached, having defined four terrain attributes: the slope, the relief intensity, the hypsometry, and the dissection. And with those four attributes, Certain homogeneous units are delineated, and those units will be the basis for the geometric representation of the soil diversity of the world. And all these units will have the allocated assigned soil information to that later on. But as you see, these variables, terrain variables, are quite easy to derive from any kind of digital elevation model. And because we have got the SRTM globally available, of course, it's quite evident to start working on that and derive all this information and have a kind of consistent approach globally. So that's the idea. Just to have a picture on that, how does it look like in the original manual? It's not ours, it's the original manual. It's quite simple. Very nice categorical classes of slope, of relief, of hypsometry, and of dissection as well. Dissection means drainage density or whatever other kind of terms can be used, but this is the major idea to show. It refers to many things, the surface forms, the lithology, many other things, so we found it quite important to have. And finally, if you consider everything, if you start working, put together your data set, you get a nice SOTR database that covers Central and Eastern Europe and was done on a traditional way, hand drawings, using legacy data and deriving information and importing information from that to the SOTR. And this is the basic level of soil properties, like the soil taxonomy, not taxonomy, actually the WRB, or in that case, the FAO soil classification was there. And then, of course, there are a lot of derived parameters, like the base saturation, or the pH, or cation exchange capacity, and all the others. But what you have to see on this, is that many of the political boundaries are nicely visible because the harmonization and the correlation was not really done well. It's the case here in the US as well, but it's even worse when different countries have to work together, and then it's a nightmare to create something that is really using the same nomenclature and the same units. So this kind of inconsistency of the database, it's inherited from its original way to develop it. So if you replace the original traditional methodology, then you may arrive to a much better quality data set with more consistency and all these kind of good things that we are often listing. So the conclusion was that we really need something to speed up the process because the global coverage is very low share yet. And of course, we really have to solve some of the problems which we were faced with. And that's why Europe started this new frame program research. It's called the eSOTR, meaning that the major goal is to define some or to develop a digital soil mapping based approach to speed up the procedure itself. That's what I'm not gonna describe too much. You can find it anywhere, you can ask me. I just give you the basic idea of what we are doing, but it's quite straightforward. We had a lot of technical difficulties, but in theory it was not really a difficult job to do. So simply just creating the slope, relief intensity, hypsometry, and the dissection or potential drainage density layers, reclassifying it to the given categories, what was given us from the procedure of manuals, the traditional one, and of course it still has a lot of technical problems. We have to solve this kind of salt and pepper effect, find the majority classes, really globalizing it, having a kind of aggregation of data and interpreting it on a certain level what we really need. And that is what is a real hard job, because then you lose a lot of information. And as a soil scientist or whoever knows the information or the data or the area, it's always a big pain to do that. But you have to do it somehow, because if you don't do that, somebody else will do that with much less knowledge, expertise, and then the result is much worse. So that's why we really have to keep this kind of hierarchical approach of nested scale system, not just going back to the field scale data and rasterizing everything. We still have to have these kind of approaches to represent our information and to interpret this information and just really project to those users who really work on that global scale, politicians and all the other major players. So we just go through all these aggregation, filtering, majority filtering things, and then finally you arrive to four parallel data sets, slope and all the others, what I mentioned. You have to start combining that. We have developed Euclidean distance-based aggregation system, because there is a certain limit of the minimum size of polygons coming from the scale issue again, so you have to get rid of those polygons. But it's using those traditional or ASCII or whatever based approaches of aggregating the polygons, it was not the most appropriate. So we were trying to handle these problems as well. And finally, we just find ourselves in the nice polygon system. So the way it's just in images as well, we start continuous layer, reclassifying it, and then aggregating the data to the certain scale, and then create do the same for all the four terrain parameters, and then combine them, create the set, and everything you find finally arrives to a terrain component system. And then what we did, okay, let's see how we are doing. And because the previous images, what you saw, that was the Central and Eastern Europe. The westernmost country was Hungary. So Hungary had its own sorter map. And when you overlay the sorter polygons with the ones we derived, you get this mess. Nothing is matching. And of course, it's a problem. But okay, let's see what is the problem when we were experiencing that. So test it. In the project, we had other partners. One partner is Cranfield University from the UK. And we were providing them the AML, programmed everything, all the aggregation, delineation procedure. And they were running it for their own pilot area. And in the same time, local soil scientists, geomorphologists were doing the same based on the field. And this is what you find. It's perfect match. There are some lies behind, because of course those guys were using DEMs behind, of course visually, just overlaying that and just drawing the lines, but still the match is almost 100% good. So then what the problem? The problem is something what we found is quite ridiculous in the same time, but it's a tragedy. And in the same time, it really has a take-home message, and that's why I really focus on that part of my presentation at the end. So what we did a country-by-country basis testing of the existing sorter map, the traditionally made sorter map. All the polygons had certain classes, and the certain classes had certain categories, slope, relief and all the others, which it really should meet. So if you overlay those polygons with the SRTM-based terrain derivatives, you can calculate the real validity of those. So I just speed up a little bit. These are the classes, but we have the geomorphology classes and the slope and relief intensity categories. And then based on that, you can derive a category system, a classification system, and when you really do the job what I mentioned, you see that when the relief intensity is small, so you are on a more or less plain area, the match is quite nice, almost 100%, but as you go further up, you find a very, very low matching, like 1/5 of the pixels falling into that category where it should fall, and this is just one variable. And if you go to the extremes, sometimes you find 0% of pixels falling into the categories of the traditionally made map. So comparing something what has nothing to compare with, I think it's a kind of difficult situation. The same for the slopes I'm just running through, but you see the same numbers, like 13%, and for the extremes, it goes even further down later on, with 1.2 or less than 1% of the pixels are falling into the same category. So anyway, some explanation. This is a very nice map, and that is what the small-scale soil mappers and any kind of map makers, developers were using in the previous time, when they were simply taking a map and just delineating the units what they were interested in. And do we have a pointer? No. Yeah. So this is the area of Buck Mountain, and if you just look at here, this doesn't show anything that a foothill, a southern-facing foothill. If you go down one further step on, this is the DEM what we were using, and it is even a higher resolution, and everything is changing. It is dissected. The aspect has changed. The majority of the slopes, the slope category has changed. And instead of having this overall slope facing down southwards, the reality is that the majority of the slopes are facing to the west or to the east, and has much higher slopes than the overall shape of the surface. So the conclusion, just to speed up a little bit, I'm not going to read them. The conclusion is basically that, yeah, we have to do that, it's possible. It can be converted, the traditional methodology, to a digital approach. But at the end, there is still a very big question to solve, and that is the major question, I think. What should we be consistent with? Because through the whole procedure, what we had to keep in mind, that one third or one fourth of the globe has been completed already. So whatever we do, it should match the one which is already on the market. And then when we try to get to this point, translating, converting that idea to a digital approach, we have to understand that the situation is different. So we can be consistent with the general approach, the general idea, or with the interpretations and the existing results. And my final conclusion, if you really start interpreting and understanding and thinking about the problems, then you arrive to this point that variables are defined by its definition, of course, but by the way how it is derived. And so what we are trying in this digital soil mapping world often, trying to redevelop something or redo something which has been done before on a totally different way, using totally different variables, input data, and then the edge. We are just targeting to have something what is the same, but they will never be the same. And I think this is time for us to rethink our approach and define our new variables explaining more or less the same feature or the same process or the same property, but not really be trapped with all this. Let's prove that we can do that. We cannot do that. We cannot do that because the human interpretation is missing. Many portion is missing from the whole idea if you go back to this. But if we go back to this, this has a huge strength, so we have to use that, but then we have to understand that we will have something different than what we had before. Thank you very much.